News and Public Affairs Department of the Gordon Broadcasting Company present Viewpoints. Viewpoints, a program dedicated to the establishment of a better understanding between members of San Diego's white and Negro communities, and featuring the spontaneous, unrehearsed opinions and comments of San Diegans of all races. This program is presented each week at this time by KSDO Radio in the belief that only through a meaningful exchange of viewpoints can we dispel the unfortunate misunderstandings that too often exist between people of different religious and racial backgrounds. Your hosts on Viewpoints are the Reverend E. Major Shavers and Mr. Harold Brown, who appear as interested members of the Negro community. They invite your telephone comments and questions. The number to call is 234-8361, 234-8361. And now your co-host for tonight's program, the Reverend E. Major Shavers.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning your radio to KSDO to share with us in an objective discussion of the selected subject this evening, Black Power, what it means and how it affects the mind and emotions of the people of America. My viewpoint is that black power and white power means precisely the same thing, simply getting the maximum results from one's involvement. For example, in the areas of politics, working to defeat those reactionaries and extremists who seek to deprive some American citizens of equal opportunity for jobs, in education, fair housing practices, equality in apprenticeship programs, higher minimum wages. These are the areas where power is badly needed and should express itself November the 8th at the ballot box. And if it is to be accomplished in an effective way, black power and white power must be integrated to become American power. Now, I grant you that the phrase black power can possibly cause some apprehension in the minds of white people because of conscience, and in search for some means of justification of the injustice perpetrated upon the black American in his effort to throw off the yoke of oppression has met with resistance in the form of so-called white backlash, which to me is unbecoming to the true spirit of the American dream, such as one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, I feel that all responsible civil rights leaders are the first to counsel against violence in the effort to unite the people of our land. Thank you very much.
We'll begin accepting your telephone calls in just a moment. But first, a word from your Viewpoints co-host, Mr. Harold Brown.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Our topic tonight, Black Power, is one that has caused much debate and in many cases stirred up much antagonism. Tonight, let us try to remove from our minds all previous discussions and all personalities from the phrase Black Power. We in America must realize that the institution of slavery in America created a system which completely shut out all black people from decision-making or power positions. Our country today has its roots in slavery. It is part of our history, a very significant part. We have struggled through the period of slavery. Slaves were freed, but black people were still not included in positions of making policy or power. Power was completely in the hands of whites and still is. Today, black people all over the world are seeking independence and freedom from control and domination. Any white man or group of white men who feel that they should dominate me giving me no representation, especially when I suffer so in this country because of my blackness, had better develop a new way of thinking, because neither me or my people will tolerate the white man's claim to exclusive domination of power in this country. But the black power phrase is not an emotional one, and you should not treat it as such. While black people are militant in their demand for fair play in our country, we are not interested in violence as a means to achieve it. The phrase black power has been used only for the purpose of focusing attention on two things. One, the black man's desire for adequate representation in the power structure of our country, and two, the white man's resistance to that desire. I now welcome your viewpoint on this editorial. Be sure to call this number, 234-8361. Call Viewpoint and give us your comments and your remarks. Reverend Shavers, this evening, as we discuss this topic, black power, I noticed that one of the things that has been most confusing in this has been the theory of nonviolence associated with black power. And there has been a lot of misconception and misunderstanding of black power, in that in the phrase black power has creeped something else, and that is violence, which seems to be, which I know is a separate issue. Would you comment on that?
Well, of course, as far as power is concerned, we have had violence accompanying power. This is no new thing in our civilization. However, I do believe, Mr. Brown, that we have made a great issue over phraseology that could well be redefined to mean something different and more progressive toward making democracy work. As I said at the very outset in my introductory statement, that we must somehow make, if we insist upon using the term black power and white supremacy, then let's integrate it and make it truly American, and then we will have American power. And then we have a basis for security. Without this, I doubt that we can feel secure in America.
Let's remind our listeners that they are listening to KSDO Viewpoint, and we invite their comments. Please call 234-8361. I see we have our first caller, Reverend Shavers. Sorry, that call was not a call. So we'll continue on. I'm sure tonight we will get a lot of callers who will be asking about Stokely Carmichael, the head of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. And we certainly hope that we will get some calls on that. So now I think there is a call. So let's hear from our listener. Viewpoint. Hello, Viewpoint.
Hello.
Hello, Viewpoint.
Yes, I would like to find out. Hello.
Hello. Yes, go ahead.
My question is, why is there so much confusion about black power?
Well, a lot of confusion exists because of the press, the news media, which I feel has not really interpreted black power in its true meaning. Reverend Shavers, do you have anything to add on that?
Well, I think that we in America have gotten a little bit too emotional about the phrase black power. I think that if we could take the two words and think of them separately, think of power, which is acceptable, and when we also take the word black, and it is acceptable, they're both perfectly decent words, But when you put them together, then you have a different connotation. And people get a little emotional about it. And we in America knows the importance of power. We've used the term power structure, referring to the white American. And we've had this as an accepted terminology for over 100 years, and the Negro or the black man hasn't made too much fuss about it. But in just a few months,
there are so many black people in the world now, and everything is focusing towards black, that there is somewhat of a hysteria with the minorities in the world, and the minority is the white.
Well, are you saying that, madam, that there is a hysteria among whites?
Because of the word black, yes.
Because of the word black?
Yes.
Well, the word black and white has have existed for some time in this country. And I
realize that, too, but the word black is very prevalent now. It has not been, if you remember, in the past, just in the past 3 or 4 years we've been using, well, not 3 years, it hasn't.
Before, you're talking about this country, and before in this country the word colored was used,
yes,
or the word Negro has been used, and now as more pride is seen by those so-called Negro, they refer to themselves as black with a great deal of pride, just as a white refers to himself as white with a great deal of pride. We thank you for your comment, madam. Viewpoint.
I heard you speak of the black power and what these words mean, but I got rather a different feeling about what they mean from the news that I heard on the radio before this.
Yes.
Can you tell me from whom the phrase comes? From what part of the movement?
From what part of the movement?
Yes.
Well, the phrase came from the civil rights movement and the...
Yes, but from what part of the civil rights movement?
From the Meredith March. Do you remember the Meredith March?
Oh, yes. It started there, but has it not really been applied more and possibly more properly toward rather the lawless elements?
No, I don't think so. Are you referring to the riots?
Yes. Is not this what is usually thought of as black power, that black power means?
Well, if you recall, the Watts riots came at a time when black power was not the
phrase. Well, I know, therefore it doesn't apply to that. The more recently, who really says is out for black power? Are these not rather the lawless elements of the civil rights movement?
I don't quite understand your question. Are you saying that the phrase black power now is being used by those who are considered lawlessness?
No, it is being used by most people in the United States to refer to this part of the civil rights movement.
Well, I hope not. Maybe this is what's happening. If it is, it's too bad. Yes, this is too bad.
Mr. Brown, I think that...
Must we not stick in our usage of words to what they mean to people rather than what we would like to have them mean to us?
Sarah, I think I understand what you have in mind. The recent demonstrations in Atlanta, where for the first time in the history of the civil rights movement, there was a recognized group that became involved unwittingly in a violent situation. Now, this was not the expression of 99% of the black people of America. For by and large, I think we've had less than 3% of people involved in violence since the civil rights movement first began.
Oh, I can believe this easily.
Uh-huh. Well, sir, do you have another comment you would like to make?
I have a suggestion that perhaps rather than trying to make the words black power mean what we would like them to, we should find some other words for the proper, for the useful part of this movement, because I think that this is spurring the white people into antagonism.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for calling in and giving your viewpoint. This is Viewpoint, KSDO. For your comments, please call in 234-8361. Good evening, Viewpoint.
Yes, I would like to say something. I watched Stogie Carmichael on television a couple of weeks ago. I think the program is Ask the Press.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him to define black power. And he said that in his committee, or whatever he belongs to, that they decided not to define it. Now, to me, that's sort of... it's not good for the Negro people. I mean, to define black power, I think it's great. Mm-hmm. Then you'll know what... The rest of the people know what Stogie Carmichael wants, what the Negro wants, and not being so ambiguous.
Yes. Let me explain to you why Stokely said that. He made this statement because... After explaining black power over and over and over again, and it continually came out in the press as something else, and when violence had creeped into it, and something, and many other things. And so Stokely said that he and his organization, SNCC, was not going to explain it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, the way I interpret as far as black power should be, or what it is, that Negro people are using whatever the power they have to obtain equal opportunities to those things that they should have as Americans.
That's right. It's absolutely right, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling in. This is 234-8361 KSDO Viewpoint, asking you to express your comments on our topic for this evening, black power. Good evening, Viewpoint. Good evening, Viewpoint.
Instead of talking about... Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Instead of talking about blacks and whites, how would it be if we lived in a world where no matter what the color... We could choose which side we want to be on.
Madam, would you turn your radio down, please? We're having a little trouble here.
Yeah, surely.
Thank you.
And choose the people who are violent or not violent. Those who want to live in peace could live in such a place, and those who like trouble could live elsewhere. I don't care about the color of the person. I care more about the character.
Yes, Reverend Shavers will respond to that.
I beg your pardon?
Reverend Shavers will respond to that.
If you recall, madam, our introductory statement attempted to strike a compromise. If we insist on using the phraseology black power and white supremacy, then why not just integrate them? And so that we will not have black power or white supremacy. We will just simply have American power. And this is what it's going to take for our survival. We will either together we stand or divided we will fall. I think it's just that simple. Do you agree?
No, I don't. I think it's more a pattern of the violent against the nonviolent. I don't think it makes any difference on the black and the white.
No?
No, I really don't. I think it's there are people who like peace, and they are being invaded by people who don't. And I think there are plenty of white people I wouldn't care to be associated with.
Mm-hmm. That is very true. I feel the same way. There are black people that I wouldn't especially...
It doesn't make any difference about the color. There are plenty of the blacks, and I have met some, that I would be perfectly happy to be living in the same apartment building with. I have met plenty of whites. I don't want the same apartment building.
But you see, madam, this is fine, but there are many whites who don't share your feelings, and as a result of those feelings, a Negro finds it very hard in the city of San Diego to get an apartment for rent.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank you very much for expressing your viewpoint.
All right, thank you.
Good evening, KSDO Viewpoint.
Hello, I'd like to make some comments, sir. The ultimate aim of this minority movement or this black power movement, whatever you call it, is to have equal opportunities given to Negroes and minorities, right?
Is to have equal what, sir?
Opportunities.
That's right, yes.
Equal opportunities for education, for training, and so forth, right?
That's right.
Now, assuming you have this equal opportunity given, would it necessarily follow that even if they're given this equal opportunity, would they all have the equal chances to make a success of the opportunities?
Well, I think if they were given equal opportunity for education and better housing, better job opportunities to participate in job training programs, the Negro will respond, or the black man, the same as any other American citizen.
But this will assume that there will always be enough jobs to be given to these equal opportunity people.
Well, they are, I think the only thing that the black man is asking for now, even though that he's spotting the white American 100 years and training and preparing himself to take advantage of the opportunities, but he is willing, even now, even though I grant you that there are some Negroes that feel that the Negro is entitled to preferential treatment. But the great majority of black people do not feel that way.
Well, I'm not so sure. I think there are very many blacks, though, who do feel that this country should now practice a preference in giving to blacks to make up the gap, rather than the preference that was given to whites to push ahead, far ahead of blacks. So I think that the preferential treatment is not unfair at all. We are asking for fair treatment, and preferential treatment in order to make up the gap is not unfair at this time.
Assuming you do get the equal treatment, the equal fair treatment, you get the equal opportunities to get jobs, so the same chances as the white people, as the educated people, assuming you have the same background and preparation, this would still entail that enough jobs shall have to be distributed to satisfy everybody, right?
That's true, yes. The jobs, of course, is up to the federal government, state government, and local government to provide those jobs.
But then jobs are not just made up for the convenience of people who want jobs.
Jobs are created by the country, really.
Yes, they are created by the country, by the state, if they think that the unemployment percentage is too high, or by businessmen who want to make money and think that their business will make money, so they keep hiring people. But the only motive that they want for putting a business is not to hire people, not to give jobs to people, but to make money. And if they think that they are losing out money, they'll close the shop and you lose jobs.
Yes, I'm afraid you're right there, sir. And we thank you very much for giving us your viewpoint this evening.
Okay.
This is KSDO Viewpoint, asking you to call in and express your viewpoint. The number is 234-8361. Good evening, Viewpoint. Good evening, Viewpoint.
Yes. Is this an unscreened telephone call?
Unscreened? What do you mean by unscreened, sir?
I mean, may I express my viewpoints over this station?
Yes, you may. You're on the air right now.
Well, that's fine. I think what you have been conducting is a travesty.
How do you mean that?
I mean that you are twisting everything said by every person who calls into this station.
Well, we certainly don't mean to twist anything, sir. We'd like for you to express your viewpoint. Pardon? We certainly don't intend to twist anything that's said.
The previous lady who called in attempted to state her viewpoint.
Pardon me, sir. Would you turn your radio down, please?
Yes, I will. I'm listening to you. I want to make sure that you're broadcasting what I am saying.
Yes, we're broadcasting it, but we need you to turn your radio down. Now, go ahead.
The previous lady who called in attempted to state a very simple fact of life, and that is that she did not wish to associate with bums, regardless of their color.
Well, I didn't think that was what she was saying, but maybe
exactly what she was saying. And regardless of income, regardless of race, regardless of creed, religion, or birthplace, This is what we have been fighting for in this United States for over 180 years. And I think idiots like you should begin to understand it.
Well, I don't want to argue that point, but
well,
if you have your comment, sir, we'd like to hear your comment and your viewpoint on black power. What is your viewpoint on black power?
I don't care whether it's black, purple, green, blue, or pink. There is no place in this United States for idiots who solicit the type of nonsense that you are now working on. Do you understand that?
I understand what you're saying, and thank you for expressing your viewpoint, sir. Good night. Good evening. Viewpoint.
Good evening.
Good evening.
In regards to your question on viewpoints or black power, I just recently came in, so I haven't heard the first part of your program.
Yes.
But my feeling about your black power, I think most of us understand what Stokely Carmichael was talking about in regards to black power, but I feel that a great part of the black race doesn't understand it.
That may be possible.
I think they have accepted it as more as a militant thing rather than as a political type of a thing, and I think this is what Stokely Carmichael, or at least as I understand him to say, this is what he was driving at.
What is your understanding of black power, sir?
Well, as he explained it, I understand it's the Negro trying to establish his own strength through political means and other areas other than a militant thing, such as these riots we've witnessed and experienced. And I think that Stokely Carmichael, by stifling these what you say is these consistent inquiries as to what black power is, I think he is dropping the ball. I think it has to be explained more to the black people than it does to the white people.
Well, I think, sir, most of the black people understand the real meaning of black power. Certainly, 90% or 95% would agree that we define black power as meaning utilizing the best that you have, all of your energy, mentally and otherwise, to attain freedom and justice. This is a Negro's goal, nothing more and nothing less. And I think that the real problem is that possibly the news media has played it all out of proportion, and it makes good reading and good listening, and it stirs the emotion of people. And this is a bad time for this kind of thing when we are trying to find a basis of union, where that the things that we can do better together. And as good Americans, it is high time that we think in terms of the best that there is in the black man and the white man without picking the worst, and we only get emotional about it, and we become un-American. Do you agree?
I agree on this point, yes, sir. I'm entirely in accord with this, and this is as I understood black power. But at the same time, in these riots in recent months, I mean, the chant has been black power, and it has certainly not been with this connotation, at least the way I understand it.
Well, when we as a colonial a nation, we were under the pressure of a foreign country, and I think the white man himself longed for American power to be free and to for self-determination, and they fought and they died, and Negroes right along made their contribution.
Well,
so
nobody denies this. I mean, this isn't the point. I mean, my feeling is this, that the word black power has been twisted.
Yes.
And not necessarily by the press, or maybe it has been, I don't know. But when you can see thousands of people, as you witness on television, in their riots and the voices screaming black power, then I think that black power certainly has to be redefined.
Yes, this is very true.
I agree with this gentleman. I agree with you that this term must be defined and defined very clearly, not only to white people but to black people as well. And I agree with you. And I thank you very much for calling and expressing your viewpoint.
Thank you.
This is KSDO. Viewpoint. We invite your comments and for you to call Viewpoint and to give us your views on our topic this evening, Black Power, The number to call is 234-8361. Good evening. Viewpoint.
Hello. I'd like to express a comment, if I might.
Yes.
Just this afternoon, my teenage son was riding on a, well, in a shopping center on his bicycle, going to the store for me, and a bunch of Negro children, teenagers, came walking down, and they had sticks and what have you, and this kid was just walking past on his bicycle, and they took sticks and to him, and they hit him on the shoulder, on his back end. Now, I've been brought up in a city among colored people, and I went to school with them, and they've been my friends, but I don't know where, if they demand equal rights, why should they have them when they do something like this?
Well, madam, it is unfortunate that we have these experiences. But by and large, young people reflect the attitude of the older people of the community. And we are going through a tense period of transition. And we're going to find ourselves having to be more patient and understanding toward one another as time goes on. Now, we haven't accomplished our objective of living together as good Americans. Now, when these things happen, it is unfortunate, but if we try real hard to understand why, then I think we would be better off, don't you?
Well, yes, I understand that. I'm trying to be patient, but it's kind of hard when it happens to your own child. Now, this has happened to two different children in one block in 1 week, and I think this is ridiculous.
Madam, let me interject here. I hope that you have not reduced the black man's fight for equal opportunities and freedom in this country down to the point where an incident involving a couple Negro youth will reflect on the whole civil rights movement. I hope you haven't done that.
No, I haven't. But, I mean, this is what turns people against them.
Well, I hope that the Negro youth in the street who might push a white person or hit a white boy or a white girl does not reflect on my having equal opportunities in this country.
I believe that everyone should have equal rights. I mean, after all, this is just what ruins their chances by doing things like this. These children think they're being smart, and they're not. They're just turning people against them.
Well, now, I'm not opposing children who are wrong. Children who are wrong, regardless of any color, are wrong. But it doesn't mean that the whole civil rights movement or every Negro in the country must suffer because that child did something that was wrong.
Well, this just wasn't one child. This was a mob.
Well, I'm sorry that incident happened, but please don't judge 20 million people by what two youths happen to do. And we thank you very much for calling in and giving your viewpoint.
All right.
Good evening. Viewpoint.
Good evening. Am I on the air now?
Yes, you are.
What I'd like to do is express my, my own viewpoint.
Okay.
I feel that this situation that has produced the present circumstances wherein we have a group using various slogans and various public display to try and make a point is at best unfortunate, which has already been expressed. But I feel that if the Negro or the Puerto Rican or any religious minority or whatever really wants to totally integrate into a nation, into a society, that they have to do it individually in the various ways and means that they individually can do it instead of being forced to be banded together, such as the Negro has now, in this civil rights movement. I think that certain groups are misusing the movement for political purposes, or I don't think it's a communist conspiracy, but I surely think that there are groups misusing people who have been stirred up emotionally in this program. And so I think that the best way to overcome this would be for individuals, and I'm a naval officer, and I work with a Negro naval officer and other Negro and white enlisted men, and we get along fine, and we kind of laugh at this whole thing, because to us, the problems aren't apparent. But my point is that what society and the public communications, media, and all are doing is forcing these people to associate with their own color and with their own ethnic groups instead of allowing them to integrate. That's my opinion.
Thank you, sir, for expressing your viewpoint. You are listening to Viewpoint KSDO. Your host tonight and on every Thursday will be Reverend E. Major Shavers and myself, Harold Brown. And we ask the listening audience to write in and let us know what you think of this program. To write in any ideas that you may have for a topic that we might use. And also to write in any criticism or suggestions that you have that will be constructive in bettering the program. The number to call to express your viewpoint is 234-8361. Good evening, Viewpoint.
Yes, there are 2 points that I wanted to make.
Okay.
Earlier,
would you turn it down?
You made a statement that nobody seemed to object to, and I want to first state that I object to it. The point made was that jobs are created by the national, the state, and the municipal governments. Well, this isn't really true. We're in a democracy, a capitalistic society. We're not in the society where the jobs are created by the government. Secondly,
who creates the jobs?
Who creates the jobs?
Yes.
Jobs are created by the people, basically, by trading back and forth.
Let me agree with you, sir, to this degree, that I believe in capitalism, but I believe in it without racism.
This isn't the question. That wasn't the question.
Yes. Well, we are talking about creating jobs.
In the conversation, you made the assumption that government creates jobs, period.
Well, government does create a large number of jobs. Fortunately for the Negro, the government has created many of the jobs, and that's where most Negroes are employed, with the government.
Why?
Because the government has not practiced racism to the extent where it has excluded the Negro as much as private industry has.
Okay, let's move on. I'd like to move on to the next point.
Go ahead.
I would like to ask your viewpoint on the black Muslim movement, whether this is in alignment with the Black Power movement, or what?
And my viewpoint is, sir, that it has nothing to do with the stride toward freedom, which has been misinterpreted as being violence in Black Power. I'm not agreeing altogether that this is the right phrase to use. I think we ought to refrain from using phrases that is inflammatory and cause division among good Americans. No, I think if I would express my definition of what the black Muslims represent, it is an expression of discontent of black people in America.
Yes, sir. Do you have any further viewpoint?
Yes. And what does this discontent, what turn does this take? What are the results of this discontent opposed to the results or the attempts that are made by CORE, SNCC, et cetera?
There may be some frustration in the struggle that we are engaged in now. Hopefully that all of this will be straightened out as we get to understand each other better.
Thank you.
Thank you for expressing your viewpoint. Good evening, Viewpoint.
Yes, hello, Mr. Brown.
Yes.
I just turned my radio down.
Thank you.
How are you tonight?
Fine, how are you?
Oh, just fine. I called you last week, but you was already off the air.
Yes.
Now, my opinion is, all we hear is the black power and the white power. Is that correct?
That's what seems to be the two phrases that are most popular right now.
Oh, you bet. Now, how about the yellow power?
Well, I think that the yellow power is included in the black power.
Well, how do you feel that?
That's right.
Now, why is the yellow race completely not even mentioned?
Well, seriously, I don't know exactly what the phrase black power includes. I would suppose that the phrase black power means that it is opposed to all white power and would include non-whites.
The Oriental race. Now, you made a statement here last week about the black race being incorporated into the United States and during the colonization of the United States as slaves. Now, how about the Chinese?
Reverend Shavers is eager to comment on that.
We are coming very rapidly to the close of this program, sir, and just as a last thought, I should like to say that if black power and white power could become integrated, we would find that we would all have something of a green power, as you've heard expressed before. And I think this is the ultimate goal for most of us, is economic security and the security in our country where that we feel this sense of belonging. And when this has been achieved, then all of the powers can be done away with to the extent that we are pitted against each other. Do you agree, sir?
Yes, but how about, that's all you hear is black power. How about some of the other races?
Well our first responsibility is to mend the breaches here at home. And once that we have accomplished that, then we can take up the mission of abroad.
Well, I don't feel that's a mission abroad, because we have as many Mexican nationalists, we have as many people of Japanese descent, Korean descent, and so forth.
Now, yes, but when they come to this country, they become Americans.
When they were, at the same time that they came to the States as the slaves, as the Negroes did, on the East Coast, the Negroes came to the States. But on the West Coast, the Chinese came to the West Coast as slaves. They both served their purpose, according to the history.
Sir, we thank you very much for expressing your viewpoint tonight, and we have a lot of other calls. We're going to try to get in a few other calls, so thank you for calling.
Yeah, but you didn't answer my question.
Well, I can only answer your question in that when we say black power, we only mean that exclusive white power is not what we feel is in the best interest of this country. So black power will include all the minorities of this land.
Yeah, but why say black power?
Well, for lack of a better term, we will use black power.
Well, we should all have one term, whether it be black, yellow, green, purple, or...
Well, they haven't, the Mexicans or the other minorities have not voiced any opposition to the use of the term.
Would you agree, sir, that American power is the most important?
Well, definitely. So what difference
is... Well, then let's use American power and forget white power and black power. And then act it out in our everyday relationships.
Pardon me?
Okay, thanks a lot for calling. Good night. Good evening. Viewpoint. Good evening. Viewpoint. Hello, Viewpoint. Is there someone on the air? Good evening. Viewpoint.
Hello, this is Mr. McGee.
Yes.
And I heard the broadcast, and you said black power?
That's right.
Well, you're talking about black power and what they want and what they need. You ought to look at the American Indians and look what the United States done to them, and they're not all hollering and hooping in the middle of the streets and causing riots.
They should be.
Sure, they should be. But I think they got what they want, and they haven't got nothing else. And what do they do? And they don't get anything if they do it.
Are you kidding me? You mean they wanted to be pushed back on reservations?
No, but they surely fought for it, and look what they got.
Well, they didn't fight for it. If they were fighting for it, they would want to get off those reservations.
Well, I know a guy that his mother, is still in the Indian Reservation in Oklahoma, and they still think they're hostile Indians. And why don't they get on the middle of the streets and hoop and holler and cause riots and everything else and have little walks down in Oklahoma? And see what the government would do with them.
Okay, well, maybe they will, sir. Thank you very much for calling in. Ladies and gentlemen, to Tonight we have listened to some very important viewpoints. We have listened to some very important viewpoints on black power. We have enjoyed sharing this evening with you. So until next week at this time, the same time, this is Harold Brown.
E. Major Shavers.
Wishing you a very good night.
KSDO Radio, in cooperation with the News and Public Affairs Department of the Gordon Broadcasting Company, has presented Viewpoints, a program designed to promote a better understanding between people of all races through a meaningful exchange of opinion and comment. We invite you to be with us again next week at this same time, and we thank you for listening.